Morning, Llewellyn. I can hear you.
Okay. I have six members currently in the meeting. Honorable Norbo is in and out because he's got a bit of connectivity problems. I'm just wondering whether we shouldn't just wait a minute or two for one or two more members to join us. Oh, I see the Honorable Nodada is also just... I'll hand over to you, Chairperson. Thank you.
Recording in progress.
Morning, Llewellyn, and welcome back. I hope you have recovered very well. Morning to the DM, the DG, and everybody that is in the meeting, or members of the committee. Can we have a roll call, Llewellyn?
Thank you, Chairperson. I have in the meeting yourself, Honorable Bingu Gigaba. I have Honorable Duins. I have Honorable Siwela. I have Honorable Nodada, Honorable Van Zyl, and Honorable Sukers. Honorable Nobo, as I indicated, Chair, he is having a bit of connectivity problems on his side, but he's been in and out of the group, but as he is now left.
All right. Thanks very much. I think anyway, all of us we are, if not now, sometime get some connectivity problems because of the load shedding. But anyway, can you help us with the apologies?
Thank you, Chair. Just to indicate, I've got an apology for Honorable Norbo, who will try and join us when he has connectivity. And then there was an apology for Minister Mutsheha, who is currently a broad chairperson, so she's unable to be with us this morning. Thank you.
Okay.
Excuse me, Mr. Brown, I'm also available. I've locked in. Thank you.
Noted, Dr. Temikwayo.
Okay. All right. Can you then... okay. Members, here's the agenda. Today, we are dealing with the first quarter report of the Department of Basic Education 2022-2023 financial year. And then we are going to have the engagement on it. And then afterwards, we will have to... consider the Mpumalanga oversight, and then the report on petition which was done by Honorable Sukers, and then we'll also consider the minutes of the 13th of September. So that is the agenda for today. Can I note any hence, can we adopt the agenda? I see the hands of Honorable Adwans and Siwela.
Chair, I move for the adoption of the agenda.
Thank you very much, Honorable Siwela, Honorable Adwans.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, members. Good morning, DM, DG, and the entire team. And welcome back, Mr. Brown. I do move for the adoption of the agenda as it is.
Yeah, seconding, yeah? Yeah, seconding, Siwela.
Yes, I move to second the Honorable Siwela, Chair. Thank you.
Okay. All right. No, thank you very much, Honorable Adwans. I see Honorable Siwela, just a lighter note today, he's very audible, so he's not at home. He is not at the Bundus this morning. DM, can I allow you then to lead the department with the overview?
Thank you. Good morning to you, Chair. Just 1 minute that you see that you are not talking to a robot.
Oh, not 1 minute. All the minutes, GM.
Chair, remember, there's a load shedding everywhere. The network is not as good as we'd love it to be. But it's me.
Fine, DM. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. Thanks, DM.
Thank you. So, yeah, Chair, maybe before we start with our presentation, just to bring this information to members. I know you heard it over the television that in KZN, the last week, a buggy, there was an accident of a truck and a buggy that left us with a big pain of losing 18 of our learners around the Pongola area. And the Department Basic Education did go together with the Department of Transport and the KwaZulu-Natal Department of Transport and Department of Education to visit the families. The situation really is not good. The schools are so devastated. Yesterday, teaching and learning really could not take place in the schools that are affected. But we are working with social development to make sure that the psychosocial support is given to the learners and their families. Because some learners are affected to find that two siblings were in that bike, one survived. So that's why I say the families and the children also must get that support. So another incident that took place in the Free State where we lost one learner in Bloemfontein, we are told the learners were playing around the mobile toilets. Then the other one was left hanging there and he passed on. These are the two unfortunate incidences that affected the sector in just 2 days in succession, I would say so. So we say condolences to all the parents and the learners and the schools also, because they are highly, highly affected emotionally and psychologically. Chair, we are here today to present the first quarter. We started on the 1st of April until end of June. Our report, maybe to be upfront to members, last year this time when we presented the first quarter, we were at 80%, but this time we're at 67%. What I like about where we are right now is that to us, the reasons are acceptable, especially on ECD, because it's partially achieved, because we received ECD for the first time, a special grade 0 to 4 cohort. Yes. We received them on the 1st of April. So it was not easy for us to report during the first quarter because we're still aligning, acclimatizing, and doing all these things. So our report could not reach DPME on time. But now, because the system is stable, I don't think that this will come again as something partially achieved in the near future. It's a branch that deals with support and support that will involve even music and this and that. So the reporting, especially on school-based violence, we could not, because during the time of the first quarter, provinces, districts are preparing to preparing the school music competitions. Though many people believe that we no longer have that. So Program 5 deals with music, deals with gender-based violence, deals with school safety and all this. So the monitoring of the school safety framework was not effective because at the time we were supposed to go and monitor, they are busy. The time we want to use is the time also they are using for school music competitions. But we have since recovered that. It has been mitigated. It's just that now, because we're reporting for the first quarter, we cannot bring that. It will come when we report for the second quarter. And the second quarter will look like we've overachieved. It's because we wanted to... Yes, it might be questionable that why do you want... You said you are going to visit 22 districts. And indeed, that is our plan. And we normally achieve, as I indicated, that we achieved it during the first month of the second quarter, and it is achieved now. But in this report, it's not achieved at all on monitoring of the National School Safety Framework, as well as the gender-based violence in schools. So these are the two key things where we did not do well as the department, but it has been mitigated. So I say, let me clarify this to members, not to allow until members ask questions as to why did this not happen. So, Chair, we are the full team from the department led by the DG. All the DTGs are in the meeting. And the presentation, DG will outline who is going to take us through. If maybe you allow me, Chair, to give it to DG or give it back to you, you'll call DG to lead on the presentation. Thank you, Chair.
No, it's fine, DM. Thank you very much. DG can proceed.
DG.
Thank you, Honorable Deputy Minister, Honorable Chair, and Honorable Members, the colleagues from the Department of Basic Education, and a colleague supporting the Portfolio Committee. Thank you, DM, for eloquently putting the background and giving an explanation on areas that might be perceived as areas of underperformance. As we have done before, let me also put my hat on the block this time around to say that these areas in the second quarter of the financial year, when we come back to the Portfolio Committee to report, these two areas that the Deputy Minister has eloquently explained, particularly the one around monitoring matters that are related to School Safety Program 5, would have been fully covered by then. Honorable Chair, I'm putting my hat on the block, as I've done before, and we've never failed to live up to the expectation. In terms of ECD, we're sorting out the technical indicator so that we align the reporting to DPME, Department of Performance Monitoring and Evaluation, with what the Division of Revenue Act requires. The Division of Revenue says you report after 45 days, DPME says 30. So we are aligning the two so that there's one. I think we'll align with the DORA so that we just have one reporting interval, which is the same throughout. Well, the presentation is going to be done by two colleagues. The first part of the non-financial performance, which will be based on the achievement of indicators, will be done by the Director for Strategic Planning, Ms. Nozipho Mbonambi. She'll lead that part. That part will do the comparison that the DM has spoken to already. But it will also begin with providing some highlights of what has been achieved as major events led by the Deputy Minister and the Minister in the Department. And then the second part will just provide our financial performance by the Chief Financial Officer, we want to caution that not all our activities are linked to the 25 performance. For instance, when we have to transfer for Funza Lushaga, we don't transfer 25%. We transfer the entire amount. We've never experienced any risk, but we think it's prudent and correct and proper to make sure that our learners do not suffer. And we just monitor higher education and training to make sure that our Funza Lushaka learners are properly supported and having transferred the entire amount from the beginning of the financial year. So the notion of 25% might not apply across the board. I'm giving this caution, and the CFO will provide even more details to that. Chair, just on a lighter note, and particularly for the interest of Honorable Murat Setla, I am in Limpopo, as I indicated before, in a village called Matangari, in a secondary school called Mphalelane. We are monitoring the infrastructure projects of IDT, which is the last but one implementing agent that we are doing this financial year. I'm going to request my sister, Sisnozipo, to start with the presentation, if it's in order, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members and Honorable Deputy Minister, and to be followed seamlessly by the CFO, will cover the financials. If that is in order, then can I call Sisnozipo to start with the presentation?
You're welcome.
It's an order.
In
it's
the
an
beautiful
order,
province
you?
Of Limpopo.
The principal, the principal must take you to the chief there.
Yeah, he's allowed me to pass through the toll gate, so I'm happy that I'm here. It's noisy. Otherwise, I'll have to pay a special tax.
Well, the DG can't. You can't allow the DG to leave the principal without that center you wanted.
Exactly the point. I'll take care of him. He's in safe hands here.
Thank you.
Sis Nozibo, can you make the screen? Can you make this? What do you call it? Just make it the presentation to full on the screen.
Good morning, Chair. I think I have done the slideshow.
No,
good morning, Chair.
With me. No. I don't know with other members, but with me, it's too. Okay, proceed. Let's see if they complain.
Okay.
It's the latest version of the full screen, Chair.
Ah, as Fundanga teaching.
Okay, but it's the full screen.
Okay. Thanks, DG. Good morning, DM, DG, and honorable members. I hope I'm audible enough. As DM and DG have provided the overview in terms of the quarter one, I'll be taking you through this. I will focus on part A, which is performance indicators and targets. Already outlined in terms of first quarter reports, the outputs in terms of the predetermined objectives in the annual performance plan for 2022. We have a number of highlights in the department. First one being the minister tabling the budget on basic education, vote 16, and that happened on the 19th of May this year, which was also first quarter. And the deputy minister also, as well as the MEC for Free State, they hosted the National School Nutrition Program, Best School and District Awards at Thabang Primary on 14 June. The results of the Thrive by Five, which is the largest survey in terms of the preschool child development, was released on 8 April. Also, this is part of getting all the data we need in terms of the early childhood development post the function shift on the 1st of April. The DBE has also implemented the three-stream model and career guidance campaign to familiarize our learners in terms of the various career choices, because we cannot always stick to the academic stream. For those learners who are talented, who are into arts and everything, it helps to have other streams. The exams, the May-June 2022 was written on 9 to 23 May, but that a total of 290,682 candidates wrote the exams, and that included the National Senior Certificate as well as the Senior Certificate. So those are the highlights in terms of what happened in the department. Programs, we've always had five programs within the department. And this slide, I think the DM and the DG have well summarized in terms of the achievement and the comparison between the two financial years, which is the first quarter of 2021-22 and first quarter of 2022-23. Yes, we can note a decline in terms of the performance due to the reasons that have been also presented by both DM and the DG. In terms of the achievement, the department for 2020-22-23 quarter one is at 67% as compared to 80% in the previous financial year. There's 9 quarterly targets and 6 of them have been fully achieved. 1 partially achieved, which is under program 1. It's that one of the reports on conditional grants, but because of the ECD conditional grant, which was only allocated to the department from the 1st of April. Then 2 indicators under program 5 that have not been achieved due to the schedule of monitoring interfering with the schedule in the provinces and the districts. So the pie chart is still showing the same results or achievement in terms of 2021-22 and 2022-23. So this is the slide that provides the detailed the indicators which have not been fully achieved, starting with the 1.1.4, which is the number of Schedule 4, 5, and 6 conditional grants, quarterly performance reports submitted to Treasury 45 days after end of each quarter. So as the DG has also explained, the discrepancy in terms of the timelines between the Department of Planning, Monitoring, and Evaluation, which is DPME, and the National Treasury. According to DPME, we submit 30 days after end of quarter, and according to the DORA, Division of Revenue Act, the reports to National Treasury are submitted 45 days after end of each quarter. So hence we have this issue in terms of the ECD conditional grant, which commenced in April and was not part of the conditional grants also in the previous year. So the department will start reporting on it in quarter 2. Indicators not achieved, the 2 indicators in program 5, which are also well articulated by the DG. Districts monitored in the implementation of the National School Safety Framework, social cohesion, sports and enrichment programs. And the second one is districts implemented, number of districts implementing the program to end school-related gender-based violence. We know these are, all these programs are very key. So also the reasons have been explained here, but also the fact that there was a full resumption of curricular programs in this year. So hence, some of the resources at provincial level, I think they struggled with allocation. That's why we had a clash in terms of the schedules. So as indicated, the 12 districts will be monitored in the second quarter. In fact, the monitoring is in progress as we speak. Then from program one, we've already touched on one indicator that was partially achieved. So which means out of four quarterly indicators, one has been partially achieved and three have been fully achieved in program one. So in terms of the annual targets, because we provide the milestones, though I will not go through each milestone, I will try just to summarize also in terms of the narrative. Under human resource management and admin, I will just focus on the appointments, that's 16 appointments, which were made in the department in quarter one. And on training and social responsibility also, three programs were conducted on skills development, facilitator, occupational health and safety, as well as compulsory induction program for levels 4 to 12. Labor relations, three grievances were reported. One that relates to recruitment processes. Two, intimidation by a colleague. And the third one on the acting allowance. And these are all under investigation. Of the financial management services, as we all aware that the department closed by the 30th of April, so it was successfully closed. That includes the books for the department. In terms of the supply chain, also meetings were held from April to June, which were bid adjudication committee as well as bid evaluation committee meetings. And the meetings also are held to ensure that the items are finalized in terms of the tenders. Grant management, the annual performance evaluation of the conditional grants was conducted in various schools in the PEDs. And the grant conditional grants evaluation that were conducted were on HIV and AIDS, life skills education program, learners with severe to profound intellectual disability, mathematics, science and technology, as well as national school nutrition program. Excuse me. On legislative services, as we know that the Bella Bill was introduced and a lot of work has been done on the Basic Education Laws Amendment Bill. And currently with the Portfolio Committee on Basic Education, there was also a number of briefing sessions on the substance of the bill. Regulations relating to minimum uniform norms and standards for public school infrastructure, the CEM has approved the amendments to these norms and standards on infrastructure and also agreed to public participation process. So the regulations have been gazetted on 10 June to call for the comments. This slide provides detailed cases which were received by the department. So we have the parties on the first column on the left and then on the middle one, cause of action or a brief description of the case. And the last column, which is the third one, is the status. So without maybe going case by case, a summary, I'd say it's the 10 cases. We'll only highlight the ones that have been finalized. Out of 10, 8 are ongoing, which means they're still in progress, and 2 have been finalized. I will talk to the ones from the bottom. It will be the second and the third if we start from the bottom. The 2 that have been finalized, Lishate, Daniel Moladudi versus Rosalina Sedibane West. Sedibane Modiba Sports. Then SAOU and Tarina Erasmus versus Harsfontein Life School. So it's the first one, it's an application for joining of the minister of the and the DG. Main application is one for the reinstatement of an educator. And then the second one, an application to set aside an arbitration award. So these are the 10 cases and also the status. Security and assets management. I think I'll focus just on the professional conference organizer that has been appointed to ensure service delivery of events on site. That is XL Nexus that has been appointed. In terms of UNESCO, we know the role of the UNESCO in terms of the education programs, improving education programs and having those partnerships with different ministries, both and nationally and internationally. So I will also not go through meeting by meeting, but we've got a couple of them. This slide looks at the coordination and the secretariat support, which are the management meetings as well as the cluster meetings. In terms of the number of meetings that were scheduled for the quarter, it's 17. 12 of which were convened successfully. There were additional 3 meetings, special meetings, which were not scheduled. And 5 of the 17 could not be convened, the broad management and 4 senior management meetings. But all the logistical arrangements and the agendas, draft or recording were successfully done. International relations and multilateral affairs. This is looking also at international partnerships that the minister would have also with the ministers from international countries. So I will also not say there will be memorandum of agreements and memorandum of understanding that will be held or will be agreed on between the 2 ministers for education in South Africa and the different countries. So I will also not go slide by slide on that. Parliamentary and business process. We're looking at 67 parliamentary questions that were received by the department, and 51 of which were from the National Assembly and 16 were from the National Council of Provinces, which is the NCOP. All 67 questions were tabled. Internal and external stakeholder liaison. The unit within the Office of the Director General that coordinates those meetings, key meetings with the stakeholder for DG and the stakeholders. So I will also not go into bullet by bullet on that one. Intergovernmental and technical support also coordinates those meetings, key meetings with the other governments, where DG needs to meet maybe the counterparts from the other departments and coordinate also in terms of the achievements within the department on the State of the Nation address. There's constant meetings on that to check how far we are in terms of these commitments also by that were pronounced by the president. And DG or the Director General also visits or monitors progress in the provinces in terms of the construction sites. For quarter one, it was 248 construction sites in Eastern Cape, Limpopo, and KwaZulu-Natal. And this is a way of accelerating the sanitation appropriate for education, which is the SAFE project, as well as ensuring that the implementing agents are complying with the set prescripts. So it's the actual monitoring, not desktop. And to strengthen communication also in the basic education sector, monitoring of grade 12 autumn camps was done in 8 provinces, also by the office, by the Director General and his office, and a number of 84 autumn camps or grade 12 autumn camps were monitored. So the next slides are taking us into the pictures. First one, talking to those construction sites that the DG has monitored or has visited to monitor the safe. And the next one on the autumn camps. So some of those 84 grade 12 autumn camps that he has visited. Partnerships will sell those partnerships with the different stakeholders, getting sponsorships in terms of the educational programs, which is assisting the department to improve on the learning outcomes. So I will also touch on the provinces that were affected, in April, in terms of, the natural disaster that happened, the floods, that was KwaZulu-Natal and the Eastern Cape. Then there was monetary support, food parcels, school uniform, water, clothing, blankets, and so forth. So this also unit within the department is key in assisting the department because, like natural disasters, the department won't have control over that. It would happen once the budget is already allocated. Communications and media liaison. Communication is very key also for the department and to put the department out there in public. 10 media advisories were conducted in the quarter under review. 11 media statements were issued, and also the DBE TV had 12 bulletins and 7 departmental events that were broadcasted, they were streamed live across the various social and media channels. Communications and research, I'll just talk to the 13 editions of the TUDO, which is the internal communication with 145 articles. So the TUDO captures those key programs and key interventions in the provinces, which where our ministers or principals also would lead or would host, so that we all are aware on what is happening in terms of the programs and the interventions. Internal audit has conducted the risk-based risk-based 3-year rolling out the audit coverage plan, and this was well consulted. It was adopted by the DG and also approved by the audit committee. They also reviewed the 2021-22 annual financial statements, as well as the performance information for programs 2, 3, and 4. Risk management was conducted in terms of the strategic risk that was finalized and also aligned to the 5-year strategic plan. The public-private partnership, information and communication technology, which is ICT, supply chain, which is SCM, and early childhood development. These project risk registers were updated, developed, and are in the process of being finalized. Coding and robotics, the risk register was also updated and signed off. And the risk management tolerance framework was also drafted. In terms of strategic planning and reporting, this talks to institutional reporting and planning. Fourth quarter report was successfully submitted to National Treasury, DPME. The annual report was also submitted on the 31st of May to DPME, National Treasury, and Auditor General South Africa, That was when it was submitted for audit. We also finalized the quarterly reports for the public entities. That was done and feedback was provided on 16 May through the office of the CFO. Branch quarterly reviews were held on 20 June to 19 July. This is to support branches and improve planning and reporting within the department. Medium-term strategic framework, priority 3, 2 key reports that were submitted during the period under review. First one being the biannual progress report, and the second one being the midterm review report. From the time the medium-term strategic framework was started, implementation started up to December 2021, because it marked the midpoint of the MTSF. In terms of sector alignment, the department works with the provincial planners through the HEDCOM subcommittee on planning, monitoring, and evaluation. And we had a meeting to discuss the standardized indicators, which are common indicators for the sector. And the process is being finalized. Research Coordination, Monitoring, and Evaluation, which is RCME. I will talk to the close out for the program, which is the reading support project, and all the reports and data sets were handed over. Early childhood development, we can highlight the appointment of the service provider in June. And the study is looking at a mixed myriad, mixed methods classroom observation in 50 ECD programs. In reporting, DBE and Republic of Kenya have signed a memorandum of understanding. And in terms of early grade reading benchmarks, which is very also important to improve the reading, 3 pilot instruments for Songa benchmarks were funded by Old Mutual, and this was completed ahead of data collection. Government Information officer, that's GITO, the information technology within the department. All the service level agreements between CETA and the DBE were signed, and they are in line with the business agreement until 2027. Project management, the European Union, facilitated and sponsored the Entrepreneurs for Entrepreneurs, which is E4E, the Integrated Business Plan Workshop, which was focusing on coding and robotics technology, grades 7 to 9 on 7 June. And the same unit also was part of the development of relevant documents and liaising with provinces and stakeholders in terms of the Presidential Youth Employment Initiative. And we know how much this project has made difference by providing employment to the youth. And that takes us to program 2. Also, program 2, in the summary, it showed that there's one quarterly indicator for program 2, which is 2.1.1. and has been achieved. For the annual targets under the column 4 validated milestone, we have provided the milestones, which also I will not go into one by one. But the milestones also are a way of monitoring progress, even if it's annual targets. We cannot wait until quarter 4 before we see that actually we are not going to achieve this target by end of the financial year. Even the evidence for the milestones is kept by strategic planning, is validated to ensure that the milestone is actually building up to the final target, annual target, which will be achieved by the end of the financial year. So program 2 narrative is opening with a very key program early childhood development. And the key also milestone in terms of that is the Minister of Social Development, Ms. El Zulu, handed over the ECD function to the Minister of Basic Education, Mrs. Nsega. And this happened at Freedom Park on 1 April 2022. It was covered under the highlights, the survey, which was released on 8 April. Quality Assurance and Support Systems, that is the QASS, a meeting was held on 10 Feb to update the DBE officials. And also, there was a interprovincial meetings on ECD from 23 to 24 June to discuss the related matters. As much as the function shift has happened in April, but the DBE is still working closely with the Department of Social Development. Maths, Science and Technology, which is MST, e-learning and research. I will focus on the second, third bullets. Marine sciences, in terms of the guidelines for the 2022 NSC exams, these were finalized and submitted to UMADUSI. Teacher individual training, monitoring and assessment of the state of marine sciences was also conducted. Then the aviation curriculum development, the process plan for the three streams model, three streams curriculum, compliant curriculum has been drafted. In terms of workbooks, all provinces submitted the signed data to inform printing and delivery of workbook orders for 2023 academic year. I think this bullet will also answer to some of the questions that might come up when the CFO presents in terms of the expenditure for the workbooks. Rural education, I'll just focus on bullet number four, which talks to the establishment of the 12 education centers in Mpumalanga, and the DBE has also monitored the independent evaluation sessions in Mpumalanga, which is 12 to 30 May. The training of teachers and community reading champions also was held on 4 May to 2 June in Northwest. Reading, which is very important, that is also the medium-term strategic framework, indicates that the learners should read for meaning. I will talk to where we have the bullet number three that is talking to working with the National Reading Coalition, where 27,000 books were collected from the two universities, University of Joburg, UJ, and University of Pretoria, which is UP. And these were distributed to Limpopo, circuits of Limpopo, Mpumalanga, Northwest. And over and above that, 18,000 of our learners were exposed to reading books during the World Book Day, which was coordinated on 23 April 2022. In terms of further education and training, curriculum implementation was monitored in 124 schools across 15 districts, and 14 subject committee meetings also were held 13 to 26 April. History ministerial task team hosted 5 meetings to refine the content in grades 8 to 12. In terms of general education and training, also there were subject committee meetings and also continuation of development of teacher guides, which are assisting to strengthen reading with comprehension for 10-year-olds, which I've already touched on as the MTSF, and also key to guide teachers on how to transition learners from home language teaching to English language of learning, which is LOLT. Also, teacher guides and learner books for year 1 to 4 were developed and quality assured in the schools of skills, subjects, occupational life skills, occupational creative arts, physical education, English first additional language. I already also covered that when I dealt with the three streams that we don't want, where the department is not limiting learners only to the academic stream. Sorry. In terms of inclusive education, accommodations and concessions, the procedural manual for the assessment of learners who experience barriers to learning, grades R12 was finalized. I can also talk to 155 officials which participated in the meeting on in terms of the implementation of the conditional grant on learners with severe to profound intellectual disabilities. 199 officials in the meeting were orientated to the revised reporting templates, good practice, and also the implementation of the program was shared. Second tense metric program, which gives those learners who could not complete their metric another chance. We talked to the support to the registered learners for this program, and which was provided for May, June 22 exams, and these have been written already. Support was provided through the four platforms, face-to-face classes broadcast through television, radio, as well as digital content and hard copies of study materials. Program three that talks to teachers, education, human resources, and institutional development. In program three, they have one quarterly target as well, which has been achieved. We can see it's green. The other targets are annual. However, we report the milestones. We can see with 3.1.3 in terms of the Funza Lushaka placements, that then that number is a milestone. But at the end of the financial year, then it will be a final achievement. So as indicated earlier, that I will not go also milestone by milestone. Education, labor relations and conditions of service. The 39 queries which were received from different areas of work, and some were directed or rather addressed to the provincial education departments. DBE has participated also in a number of meetings, one of which was with Department of Justice and Constitutional Development on the vetting of educators against National Child Protection Register and the National Register of Sexual Offenders. So we know that that's important also to vet the educators. The last bullet, the withdrawal of the policy on the improvement of the conditions of service for educators employed in terms of the Employment Education Act, the EEA 1998. Teacher incentives, known as rural incentives, was completed and gazetted. On this slide, I will focus on the two bullets, the second and the third bullets. First one, talking to number of qualified educators age 30 and below, entering the profession, teaching profession for the first time. A total of 4,488 young and qualified educators were appointed in the post in the PEDs during the quarter under review. 1,291 of which were permanent, 2,292 temporary, and 905 substitute or relief appointments. The last bullet is talking to Funza Lushaka graduate placements. 49% were placed during the quarter under review, and in numbers, that is 2,080 graduates placed out of 4,232. educator performance management and development and whole school evaluation, monitoring and support was provided in Gauteng and the Mpopo head offices, and 9 schools also on the quality management system. 3 PEDs were also monitored, KwaZulu-Natal, Mpumalanga, and Northern Cape. 109 officials were trained to enhance school improvement planning and implementation. And in terms of curriculum research, training of content developers and administrators of the online CPTD platform has started and will be completed in the fourth quarter of 2022-23. 31 district teacher development centers also received support from University of South Africa, UNISA, and this will also reinforce functionality in the teacher centers. The following, this slide is talking to the placement of Funza Lushaka graduates, well, in a table form, but I've already covered the percentage as well as the actual numbers in the narrative slide. This slide is a reflection of the filling of posts. 101,967 graduates are reflected as appointed in state paid posts on PESAL, with 113 appointments in SGB posts. But the number is still talking to the previous slide, which is 2018 Funza Lushaka placements. This slide is also the same number reported. However, showing out of 2018, how many educators were females that were placed, which is 1,309. And male 771. CPTD, the data or collection tool was developed and sent to the 9 PEDs. In terms of Skills for a Changing World project, the framework has been approved and endorsed by the HEDCO. And this framework is describing the delivery of training of teachers on coding and robotics by the Teacher Union Collaboration, which is the TUC. I think I've covered in terms of the framework for the TUC. Education management and governance development. The school governing bodies, which is SGB functionality, as well as the availability of management documents. And the templates were developed and distributed to the provincial education departments so that they commence with the surveys. These are 2 APP indicators in terms of the SGBs and the management documents in schools. And the standard operational procedures were also sent and distributed to all PEDs. Initial teacher education, it's the Funza Lushaka bursaries awarded. As a milestone, we have reported 11,012 bursaries that have been awarded. In terms of teacher development implementation, the LAMAP project, which is that French name, the DBE and the embassy, the French embassy, they are implementing this inquiry-based science education projects in 5 districts and 5 provinces. Program 4, planning, information, and assessment. This program does not have quarterly targets. It only has annual targets, and we have reported also milestones under the validated milestone column. But also to make a note in terms of the 3 indicators for infrastructure, the 0, well, does not mean no work has happened, but because we're reporting numbers on infrastructure, it's 0, but the projects so are at different levels of construction. And in quarter 2, we will start reporting the numbers where we do not have them. But for sanitation facilities, we do have 45. which was completed under the quota under review. So as I've done with other programs also, I will not go through each milestone. EMIS, Educational Management Information Systems, the SASEMS help desk assisted about 1,700 schools, and districts with the queries, and also corrected about 150 databases. There was also a maintenance version that was released on SASEMS 22.0.2. And in terms of the learner unit record information and tracking system, which is the LURIDS, a total of 16,900 schools that includes about 8.5 million learners, as well as 200,000 educators were uploaded on the system. So this is a way also of tracking the learners in the system, the educators in the system, as well as the schools. The unit also worked on the NSC candidate registration data, which was extracted and prepared to be uploaded in the examinations mainframe. This is also in preparation for the capturing of the results in the system examination mainframe. The ECD Census 2021 results were publicly launched on 13 May. Very important also to have conducted this census, so that as we are fully responsible for ECD, we have the data, so which is very key for planning in terms of strengthening the early childhood development in the sector. Public examinations, I will just touch on the total number of question papers for both October, November 22 examination and the May, June 2023 exams. That's a total of 320 exams that we should have for that. This slide talks to the administration of the examination in terms of the bulk certification, which has been completed, as well as the remark and recheck processes. And Umalusi and Sorisita and Umalusi also have performed the dry run testing of the system for June 2022 processes. I think this has been overtaken by the events because the exams were written and already. National assessment, I'll touch on the systemic evaluation study that has been conducted across provinces in grades 3, 6, and 9 sampled schools in language and mathematics. And also the diagnostic assessments on language and maths test items for these grades have been compiled into booklets. 32 booklets have been produced. General education certificates, the curriculum tests for language, maths, natural science, and economic management sciences, that has been concluded. In terms of early learning national assessment, it was conducted in 287 schools nationally. Provincial budget and monitoring, the quarterly report the responses were uploaded on the system for quarterly reporting for the PEDs. And the unit also that is responsible has presented to the HEDCOM subcommittee on planning, monitoring, and evaluation the preliminary spending for 2021-22, the 2022 medium-term expenditure framework, and the electronic quarterly performance reporting system. And the main purpose also is to align financial and non-financial data. But this unit deals with all provinces in terms of budget and expenditure as well as the non-financial data. Provincial and district planning and implementation support. I would focus on capability building of district officials. DBE working with the NECT had the district conference on education reform on 6 to 7 April with Minister, Deputy Minister, and the DBE senior management, as well as NECT. And there was a pilot study also from 22 June to 1 July with 50 district officials to empower them on 7 areas to enhance district functionality. So this is very important because the functionality of the district will assist also the functioning of the schools and also in terms of the learning outcomes. School level planning and implementation support. I'll just focus on the calendar 2024 school calendar as well as the proposed 2025 calendars, which were discussed at the HEDCOM subcommittee, and also public comments on the proposed 2024 calendar on 9 May. The other bullets are talking to the inquiries which are received through presidential hotline. We can see that the resolution is 99.7%. 1,317 cases have been resolved. And also there's a DBE call center. In the quarter under review, 3,300 inquiries were received and were all resolved. And through the website, 958 inquiries were received, and 8% were finalized. 20% were junk and repeat emails. National Education Evaluation and Development Unit, NEDU. There were sharing sessions on foundation phase skills, and these are linked to the DBE workbooks aimed at the departmental heads within the foundation phase. So 28 sharing sessions were conducted and were attended by 1,738 participants from districts and province, school-based participants, departmental heads, principals or deputy principals, as well as the educators. QLTC, there's a strategy has been developed to revive quality learning and teaching campaign structures in all provinces. And in terms of education infrastructure grant, which is the EIG, it's the allocation for this financial year is 12.3 billion. And this is transferred to the PEDs in 5 tranches or installments. The second installment, which was the last one that was transferred, was on 27 May, but that was transferred on the submission of monthly infrastructure reports, also in the format as determined by Treasury or as per Treasury regulations. Last program, Program 5, has 4 quarterly indicators. 3 have been, 2 of which have been achieved. The 2 have already been reflected on by the DM, the DG, but I've also covered in the slide after the status in terms of the achievement. The 2 that were not achieved, 5.1.3 and 5.1.5. However, as a corrective measure, the units responsible are monitoring these provinces as we speak. So the progress will reflect under quarter 2. Safety in education, 10 schools were monitored. This is also referring to the one which is underachieved. Sports and enrichment in education. I will talk to the South African School Choral Estedford, which is SASCE, capacity building workshops. as well as the APC Motsepe Esaske Provincial Championships, which were held in all provinces. And also there were school sports workshops on 10 June. Health promotion, 19 schools were monitored in Eastern Cape, Gauteng, KwaZulu-Natal, Limpopo, and Mpumalanga provinces. And the business plans have been approved for 2022-23 financial year. So there is a conditional grant on HIV and AIDS. So these business plans are talking to that conditional grant. And the first tranche of provincial allocation was transferred on 14 April. Health promotion, I think the first one is talking to the annual performance evaluation of conditional grants. 16 schools were visited in Eastern Cape and determined resilient, empowered, AIDS-free, mentored and safe dreams. That's the dreams reached 233,843 learners through the scripted lessons, and adolescent young people reached 61,121 learners, providing them with a package of health and social services, and this against 58,907 target, which was set for the quota. So it has been exceeded. 508 learner support agents were placed in schools through DREAMS initiative, and this includes 56 through government to government, which is a G2G project. Last bullet, deworming has been conducted in PEDs except Northern Cape, Limpopo, and Gauteng. Mpumalanga and Free State provinces reached 635,903 learners combined. Second bullet, still on health promotion. The water and sanitation hygiene program distributed also hygiene packages in 6,535 schools in Eastern Cape and Gauteng, thereby reaching 430,225 learners. School nutrition, 38 schools in the 11 districts were monitored in the quota. That is also covered in under the indicator performance tables. Sorry. The last slide under performance. This slide is showing the National School Nutrition Program for the first quarter. It's different quintiles, there's 1 to 3, and also showing different categories in terms of schools, secondary schools, special schools, but the total that I will talk to is the last column in the table, which is looking at a total of 9.7 million learners that received meals during the quarter. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, thank you. Good morning, Chair, members of the committee, DM, DG, and colleagues. I'll deal with the financial part. If we can go to the next slide. Next slide, yeah. Please.
I'm working on this. I think when it comes to finance, I'm trying to move it. Sorry, there you go.
Why don't you remove the slides and then restart? Okay, let's see.
Let's see.
The next one is the table on yeah, this one. Thanks. Members, our budget for the current year is 29.5 billion, and we spend 31.5%. just to indicate that as a threshold or benchmark, what we do is how we gauge whether we underspending or overspending is to look at the quarter and say a quarter is 25% of the year. So in the first quarter, any material difference between the 25%, we explain that. So on this slide, basically the big material differences is on program two, which is curriculum policy, where we spend 14.3%. The reason for that is that whereas we budget for curriculum for the full year, the spending happens mainly in the last quarter of the financial year. It happens in the quarter that starts from the 1st of January next year to the end of March. And the reason for that is that these are workbooks for the school year that starts in January next year. So delivery will ensue during the course of the year, but would reach a climax in the first quarter of in the last months of the calendar year, such that the invoices will start coming next year, and it's only in the last quarter that we see the closing of that gap in terms of spending on web books. The other major or material difference is on program three, teachers, where we spend 90% of the budget. And that is because the Funza Lushaka bursary forms a significant part of that 1.5 billion. And those bursaries are paid at the beginning of our financial year, as early as April, so that universities can start funding those students that we have chosen. So it's that's basically the trend. And so we can go to the next slide, Nosipho. I'll only talk to this slide and the other one. Can you move to the one on economic classification? Yeah, this one. Sorry, just go one back or one forward. Yeah, I'll also talk to, this is the other slide that I'll talk to. It's the same budget, except for the fact that whereas the first slide was per economic, was per program, this one is per economic classification. And as you can see, the workbooks budget falls under the goods and services budget, which is currently underspending big time. I'll skip a few slides and then move towards the end. It's not a lot of slides on finance. Just move on, Nosipho, then I'll tell you where to stop. Just move on. Yeah, these are conditional grants. Yeah, let's stop a bit on conditional grants. Conditional grants, these are grants that we transfer to provinces, and then as you can see that some have spent the transfers, others are just above the 25% mark, whereas some are below, and it's because the transfers happen after we've done a predetermined or in terms of a predetermined schedule that we made. So the fact that you find that the others are at 10% doesn't mean that there's no plan to transfer. So we transfer in terms of a predetermined schedule. Can we move to the next slide? Move on. Yeah, these are transfers to entities like UNESCO, The basic ones where we've already done transfers is the National Education Collaboration Trust, NECT, where we've already transferred 33 1/3% in terms of our agreement with them, as well as the Funza Lushaka. As you can see, as I said earlier on, we've transferred already 100%. The rest of the transfers happen more towards the end of the year, depending on the claim that comes through from or the invoicing that comes through from the various entities. We can move on, Nasipo. The same applies to these three entities, Malusi, TDP, CETA, and SAIS. We transfer in terms of our agreement. For example, TDP, CETA, we transferred already the whole 100%. Whereas with Malusi, we've transferred 50%, and with SAIS, we've transferred just over a quarter of the budget. Let's move on. Yeah, go to the next slide, sorry. Next slide, Nosipo. Yeah, this one. This one is the ACIDI grant, or the School Infrastructure Backlogs grant. We spent 19.65%, and the reason for us not being at 25% is because some of the invoices, about 400, but maybe if you go to the next slide, it will show 372 million. Yeah, it's not this one, but yeah, the invoices that related to the quarter one coming from the implementing agents, some of them came too late for them to be included in the first quarter spending, but that has since been captured in the second quarter, and then the spending will improve. Thanks, Chair. I'm done, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
Okay, DM. Thank you very much. DM to Chief Ms. Mbonambi and Mr. Kono. Thank you very much for the presentation. It's load shedding on my side. I'm not sure if I'm audible. But members... Okay. Members, there's the presentation. Quarter one, DBE, can we seek clarities, engage them?
Tawara.
There is the end of Marina Van Sail. You can proceed, ma'am, Honorable Van Sail.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning to colleagues. My question is on the Funza Lushaka bursary program. We know a key feature is that it's linked to a service obligation upon completion of teaching qualification. And that then means that after graduation of a Funza Lushaka bursary holder must then immediately assume teaching position in a public school. The graduates are then placed by the Provincial Education Department to teach in a public school in which a teacher is needed. Each year of service will repay, obviously, then a full-time year of bursary assisted study. So placement can be done either in the province or anywhere in the country. My question really then relates to the 49% that has only been placed. This means that graduates are sitting home and there's a lack of teachers in schools. What is the department doing to address this? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Sukers.
Good morning, Chair, and good morning to my colleagues. I also just want to say thank you to the department for their presentation. Chair, I want to focus on the issues that were left out, and I want to start with the question that I asked regarding the ECD social environmental impact assessment. We're still waiting answers on that. So if the department can give us a reply on the question that was asked around the ECD social environmental impact assessment last week or the week before, I'm sorry. The list of things that I would like to get a supplementary report on, or for the department to give the committee feedback on, Several, Chair. The one is the homeschool registration details in terms of where that is at, in terms of capacity building around the delays that my office certainly has received from many of our constituents in regard to how a registration of homeschool education has been a long dragging process. So if the department can give us feedback on that, the comprehensive sexuality education rollout, I know there was one, I assume that was a reference to that around the program performance on program that was mentioned by the previous presenter. Also an update on school closures in terms of where and where that process is nationally, and the ECD registrations and the SGB training and development, and then the NASCA progress, Chair, that is the National Senior Certificate for Adults, and the school dropout that was that the committee has raised several times in the last 2 years, especially throughout COVID. So if we could get feedback on that and the curriculum catch up. And then the issue around research, I'm listing all of these things, but I will submit a list to Llewellyn if the department can please provide us with feedback on these. The issue on the research that I have brought up as well previously, and then the issue around donors, it was referred to South African organizations that supports the DBE and education, if we can be provided with a list on that and the type of programs. Then the issue around legislation, regulations, policy frameworks, and the stages of those. As we have seen, Chair, when we had the rural education presentation, we were then told that this is now a framework. So if the department can provide the committee then with a breakdown on the various legislation or regulations and policy frameworks and the various stages where those are, I will back it up with an email for the report, Chair, in case the department didn't get it all. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Letsia. Honorable Letsia.
Thank you very much, Chair. Apologies for being interrupted by I will not be opening my video because of that. Even now here on my screen, it says my network is unstable, or my internet connection is unstable, which is bad. I hope you can still hear me, Chair.
Yes, you are clear.
No, thank you very much, Chair. Maybe let me start with a problem statement. One, Chair, is that we have I have a problem with the placement of Funza Lushaka graduates being put in an APP of the department as a target. Why do I have a problem with this, Chair? It's because we are one country, and one country must have one plan. And I know that the Department of Science and Innovation is putting together one country, one plan document precisely to deal with some of these problems. And what is the problem here? The problem is that, Chair, you have one government that funds different students. Others are funded from the same kitty, from the same government funds through a bazaar called Funza Lushaka. You've got the same government funding other students from the same kitty using NSFAS. Same government, one government, providing what you call bazaaries to different students. But the Department of Basic Education then prioritizes one set of students who are funded through the same government, but a program called Funza Lushaka, and not prioritizing another set of students who are funded from the same government kit through NSFAS. That is a problem. For me, it's a serious problem, Chairperson. And I think this is something that I'm not sure if the DM, I've been cut off in and out of the meeting. I'm not sure if the DM is in the meeting. And I would like the DM to assist us on this one. Has this one country, one plan document been presented to cabinet? And how is basic education coming on board in this one country, one plan initiative to resolve some of this problematic issues we are making? And I think I'm specifically asking the DM because I think it's not, it's a problematic, it's a problem statement that requires political leadership of the department commenting on instead of our colleagues in the department. So that is one part, because if you look at everywhere we go, Chairperson, whether it's in Northwest, Free State, Mpumalanga, everywhere, Western Cape, we have a lot of teachers who sometimes approach us on the outskirts of our oversight visits to these provinces, complaining that them as self-funded, them as NSFAS students are not prioritized. In fact, some allege that in other provinces, provincial department freezes this post if they don't have enough Funza Lushaka graduates on the market already, and they close the door for them, and they don't think, and well, I also don't think that is fair. So maybe the DM is on the platform, she can just take a bite on this problem statement that I know I'm putting here on the spot, but I think that's what we must do, to shake things at the DM. And now two questions that colleagues in the department can take us through. Obviously, on the COVID-19 spending, there was a 53.6 million that was or that reflected as expenditure of COVID at the end of the first quarter. But we know that was inaccurately captured as COVID expenditure on BAS. And the department used the incorrect code there, and it's in the process of correcting that one. It will therefore reflect the zero. I thought I must just explain that part. Chair, my question to our colleagues, one is that do we have schools without sufficient... I'm sorry, Chair. We have schools without sufficient LTSM. If so, which province, which districts, and which schools are those? And again, if yes, how many are those? How are our principals held accountable in terms of performance of their schools? Because, Chair, we do have serial underperformance in terms of schools. How do we hold the principals accountable in terms of that? And and how are districts under perpetual or serial underperformers in terms of district directors? How are we also holding them accountable? And who, maybe in terms of performance of schools from the department, is responsible for this underperforming of districts and particular schools, and how do they hold these colleagues of ours, be it district directors or principals, accountable? And according to the department, do we think we have sufficient teachers in the system who are employed? I know there are others who are advertised and all of that, but I'm saying if we switch the plug today and say no one goes in, no one goes out, are we comfortable that we've got sufficient teachers in the system? When we're, I think we're in Mpumalanga, if I'm not mistaken, Chair, we had received a report, I think, from the department in Mpumalanga, or it was the national department, I can't remember. Excuse me for that. There was a comment that was made that our teachers, the teachers that we have currently, we might be having a slightly older teachers in the system who might in the next 2-3 years exit the system. What are the numbers there? In the next 2-3 years, I know the chair were put in the department on the spot, and I'm willing to accept that if they don't have this information right now on hand, they can, within 7 days, send it to us in writing, because I know it's quite detailed. In the next 2 or 3 years' time, what are the numbers looking like? How many teachers are we likely to have lost or to lose from the system due to old age, retirement age, and all of that? And what is the plan of the department in making sure that when that time comes, maybe this year they've got 50,000 going out of the system, I'm just making an example, Chair. What is the plan of putting them into the system, noting what I would have said earlier about only priority being given to Funza and Shaka, a graduate, instead of everybody else? And then on the MST schools, Chair, I know you know that I also serve in the Higher Education Portfolio Committee. And at the beginning of the year, that department did not reach their targets of getting, I think it was 60,000 students into higher education space on this MST major subject, because we could not, as basic education, produce enough students or enough learners from the basic education entering into university space with a minimum of 60% or more on maths and science and related subjects. So on maths, on MST, what is it that we're doing? I know when to Mpumalanga, they've got an MST building there, which supports 101 schools in Mpumalanga and all of that. But what is it that, as the department, we are doing to make sure that we are producing enough MST matriculants with 60% and or more learners, so that they can enter those MST fields at the university space. And what is it that we are doing with the Department of Higher Education, making sure that where there are challenges, together we're able to mitigate those challenges so that we get our learners into those spaces. Thank you very much, Chen. Apologies for taking long.
Thank you, Honorable Suwela.
Chairperson, thank you very much for the opportunity and good morning to the honorable members and colleagues from the department. Chair, I want to begin by supporting Honorable Litsi on the matter of student funding, especially when it comes to the prioritization of the teachers that has to be appointed. The department actually prioritizes Funza, Lushaka, bursary holders over and above the other students that were funded through NSFAS. We are one country, and all these students are coming from the same environment, the same setting. And they both qualified for funding by the department because of their situations and environment that they come in. And upon their completion, having recognized the settings where they come from, they are then discriminated against, and then you prioritize one over the other. This is unfair, and we have been hammering on these issues for a number of years, but the department seems adamant to continue implementing these policies. For me, this is something that the department has to reconsider and review, because it discriminates against the same people that come from the same environmental backgrounds and settings. And I would really plead with the department to review that and give everyone an equal opportunity to work, because South Africa belongs to everyone, and the Constitution, especially the Bill of Rights, is clear that everyone has got the right to work. So it cannot be the department that creates a discriminatory environment on the basis of who funded you, but all of them having been funded by the same government from the same fiscus. So I submit, Chair. The second point that I would like to ask is with regard to the presentations that we received. Of course, we welcome the presentation. However, Chair, I have the following questions to ask. One, noting that the number of districts monitored in the implementation of the National School Safety Framework, school cohesion, sport and enrichment programs was not achieved. How effective is the implementation of the safety framework, and what are the challenges faced? Secondly, again, noting that the number of districts implementing the program to end school-related gender-based violence was not achieved as well. How effective is the implementation of the sexual harassment policies, and what are the challenges faced? Lastly, which programs are not performing financially at a quarterly level target? How robust are planning and budgeting linked, and do all the programs have clearly outlined operational plans? Thank you, Chair. So I submit.
Thank you very much, Honorable Nadada.
Thank you so much, Chair. Chair, can I just check if I'm audible before I start?
Yes.
Thank you so much, Chair. And thank you for the presentations from from DBE. I just wanted to check. I mean, I think we've gotten the explanations around the shortcomings on the report. I don't think I'll go into any of those per se. But obviously, it's just to wait for those reports from ECD, that those seven reports that will be delivered on ECDs, and maybe we'll get much more better feedback on those particular targets. But I just wanted to check quite a few things, actually, Chair. I might juggle around one or two documents as I speak. But the first one would be, in terms of the three-stream curriculum model that has been mentioned, you know, it also, there's some highlights that have been indicated by the presenters about the DM and the DBE basically launching some of these career guidance streams. Yesterday, I visited one of the schools in what is now known as Tabeja in the northern areas, David Livingston Secondary School. And this school is part of a pilot, which is part of what we would call part of the three-stream curriculum model, but the Eastern Cape is piloting these type of schools. In the Western Cape, they're known as School of Skills, where learners that, you know, have massive challenges in terms of reading, writing, and numeracy, you know, are kind of channeled into these schools to try and see if there's no skill that they can acquire. So that from a vocational point of view, in some instances, an occupational point of view, that they can be able to exit the system, at least to go and find some sort of work. I just wanted to check with DBE on this one, because from a curriculum point of view, you know, there's guidance, you know, I mean, I know you do monitor CAPS. There's this three-stream curriculum model that has been now introduced and the different pathways in it. But with these particular schools, the School of Skills, where they basically count year one, year two, year three, year four around that concept, there seems to be a disjointed implementation, or rather understanding of what these schools are all about. Even though they've existed for quite some time, in the Western Cape as an example, they still don't have a certification process at the end of it. So there's no recognition or it being certified. I think I've raised this before. But the core of my question is around two things. Is this particular School of Skills part of the three-stream curriculum model on vocational and occupational streams that are available? Even though it might not lead to a general education certificate at the exit level of grade 9, but counted as year 1, year 2, year 3, year 4, is there a plan in place to make sure that learners that are channeled to these type of schools, because they do exist. They exist in the Western Cape. They're being piloted in the Eastern Cape, and I believe in other provinces as well. But the biggest major concern of school governing bodies, parents and communities and teachers is, then if a learner is complete, you know, with this, you know, 4 years of the School of Skills, what certification mechanism is there? You know, are we involving Malusi in this discussion? You know, is it part of the NQF discussion? You know, where do we locate it? And in this three-stream curriculum model, for learners that have that inability that you've then already presented about giving career guidance on the opportunities available in the three-stream curriculum model, you know, are they part and parcel of this plan? You know, because many of these learners are learners that have, you know, struggle with cognitive ability and other abilities. And some of them are LSENS learners. And, you know, reading, writing, meaning languages, and then numeracy, which is mathematics, they might extremely struggle, because that school that I went to yesterday has a dual stream. They're trying to pilot this School of Skills, but at the same time, they've got the academic stream available, but without the maths, the science, the accounting, it's just history and tourism and so on, to try and accommodate these type of learners. But even that, they're failing. So I wanted to just have a full understanding on that. If there's a need for me to maybe craft my questions in a way in which you'll better understand them written-wise, it will help. But I would really, really like to understand where do these schools fit in the three-stream curriculum model? Are they streamlined, or do provinces have the autonomy to kind of decide on how they best pilot these? And then certification-wise, what is the outcome in terms of that? And the second question I would like to ask is around ECDs. Understandably so, you did mention that there will be a reporting mechanism that is going to come through in Q2 on this. But the main question that I want to ask on ECDs is in relation directly to those particular reports. There's obviously legislation that is before us, which we are processing as the committee, that basically says, you know, we want to make grade R compulsory, which, you know, is fully supported based on research that has been done across the globe on the impact of that. But the main questions I have are around the issue of the relevant, all the relevant costs, you know, including the costs of building the necessary classrooms, the maintenance costs, municipal costs, you know, to schools, the cost of appointment of the necessary educators, or even training the current existing practitioners. Is there a discussion with National Treasury on the full availability of this? Because, you know, we can make policy and sit and make legislation here, but if we don't implement it in the ground, when we do our evidence-based evaluation of our policy and the impact that it then makes, it then becomes important for us to make sure that the resources that need to be allocated to implement this policy are available. Now, in the previous budgeting cycle, which is the one that we're currently in now, when the APP and the budget was debated, the migration happened in April, 1st of April, if I'm not mistaken. But the funds that were allocated to it were not responding fully to this. So now moving to the fact that there's a migration of ECD, then there's going to be grade R that is made compulsory if the law is then obviously passed with the amendments proposed in the South African Schools Act. The discussion that takes place with National Treasury on these reports that you will obviously later on present, do they cover these things that are required to make sure that we actually fully implement this policy and law once it's, you know, it's promulgated and put there and passed and so on? And what are those discussions? Because there's a rough estimate of how much is required to fully implement this grade R being compulsory as part of the early childhood development program. And if there are no funds available from a National Treasury perspective, it means that we're basically making a policy that we won't be able to implement or fulfill. So a comment on there, unless you're saying there's much more detail on the reporting that you'll submit at a later stage. The third one is around the increased violent behavior in schools. And I see there's an NSSF plan that, you know, has been put in place. But I want to check a proposal that we've been, you know, discussing of late with some of my team. And is that we obviously know that there are various reasons why there could be violent behavior or untoward behavior in schools by learners and, you know, and so on, based on the environment and other factors that can contribute to that. But the question is twofold. Last year, at some point in time, I proposed that the department look at the possibility of having or district safety plan in place. Especially in hotspot areas where violence can be prevalent, or, you know, there's a ticking time bomb because of our socioeconomic environment and other factors. I mean, there's studies that are available there from other departments. I want to check whether that exploration has been done on how do we mitigate on the safety measures in school from an external point of view. So that's one. The second one, from an internal point of view, I do think there's a high time that we engage the Department of Higher Education, Science and Innovation on the placement of social workers and psychology students
to schools that are high-risk areas on these behavioral challenges. Let me explain what I mean by that. Is that, for example, we've done a study in other countries. There's a state of Hesse that we went to, where the Department of Education, in collaboration with the Department of Higher Education, places social workers and psychologists in schools in areas that could be high risk of behavior based on the socioeconomic environment, the violence in that area, and other studies that have been done by the Social Development Department of that area. And in this collaboration, you are trying to offer a service to mitigate the behavioral challenges of those learners in that environment. It doesn't mean you cut across the board, but these social workers and psychology students are normally placed in hospitals and they're placed in some areas that, you know, the need might not necessarily be as high as we now require in schools. And we've seen, you know, the growing violence over the years, not even just the recent ones that you've reported on in this presentation. So would there be an appetite to engage the Department of Science and Innovation, Higher Education, on the placement of these learners, because they have to do practical work in any case for them to be able to graduate, so that they're able to offer that service, not just to learners, but to that particular community that can access that service via that school that's located there. And maybe, you know, we might, you know, try and mitigate some of the challenges. It's not the only solution, obviously, but I do think it's something that we need to look at as best practice, like I've mentioned, seen it work nicely in other places. And then in terms of the legislative services, I won't go into the BELA, I won't go into the infrastructure norms and standards, and I won't go into the other ones that I mentioned, because those things are currently being processed. Payment. The target here is said to be met, but there are still cases of non-payment that, you know, that are being processed in court. And you know, the key question really on this issue of non-payments on time within the 30-day period is basically to just ask as to the cases that are currently being processed. Do they happen, for example, these legal cases? What are the circumstances of them, first and foremost? But how much, you know, money does it entail, you know? Well, and has there been consequence management for those that have transgressed on this, considering that there was a qualified audit and there were recommendations that have been made by the auditor general to the department on some of these issues? And maybe you can maybe update us on the status of those and whether there's been progress or has been action taken on that. And I want to link this question to the implementing agent's report. I do think, Chair, we do require, because there's 248 projects, I'm assuming, that you presented in one of the slides, that have been monitored around the implementing agents. But I do think there needs to be an analysis. Again, I've raised this in the past, of the implementing agents that are responsible for this infrastructure projects in schools, to check what was the initial amount set out to build those particular schools and whether those implementing agents have been able to meet the timelines of those, including them submitting what is required of them so that there's no missing of payments on the other side. But more so than anything, what was the full cost of the project at the end? Have we overspent on these projects? Have we underspent on them? Have we broken even? To check whether there is effectiveness in using this model of implementing agents as set out in the department. And there's quite various implementing agents that are there, public works and others. Because even the school that I went to yesterday started being built in 2015. But the closeout is set out to be the 22nd of November. And I can guarantee you from what I could see yesterday, that school won't be completed by then. You know, is there a deliberate way of which projects are being extended, which then charms in the fiscus of the department in terms of the allocation of the grants that are available to build these schools? And it's something that we need to look at. And linked with that, DG, could you maybe also update us in terms of the special purpose vehicle that was mentioned in SONA,
on infrastructure, on where are those discussions now? Because the last time you engaged the presidency, you engaged public works, but how do they impact and how are they going to work for the Department of Basic Education, considering that there's this SAFE program, there's this ACD program. Obviously, SAFE is not going to complete all the schools that have pit toilets, but obviously there's a need for another intervention. How is it going to work? Are you going to continue with those programs, or is another mechanism that is going to be used in place to try and mitigate those challenges? Second, lastly, Chair, I know I'm taking a bit of time, but these are some of the questions that I just need to make sure that I get a pose on them. The second last one is on the finances, right? I just wanted to check. Like I said, there's been a qualified audit with specific findings and specific recommendations that have been made. And how is the report, on that, helping to improve on the 2021-2022 annual report audit findings? You know, are the recommendations of the Auditor General implemented in that regard? And obviously you can comment on that. And the outcome of the first quarter report is generally good. You know, how is the report obviously translating into effective teaching and learning in the classroom? And I ask this because sometimes we set targets. I even marked here a target of misconduct. There was one case, I think, for this one quarter, and I had two question marks. But obviously, I'll deal with that when you guys come present your APP and budget at a later stage on how we deal with some of the targets. But the question is, you know, with the report being generally good, you know, is there a measurement of the effectiveness in the classroom? And how is that taking place? And then the last one, Chair, is the monitoring of monitoring of CAPS. But I want to then link it to the three-stream curriculum model again, DM. Is there monitoring of the uptake on the streams that are available? Because I know that some stuff are still being uploaded on the website, on the DBE website, and I was assured of, you know, some of them being updated. But how do we monitor the uptake that is available in those streams? And if we do, I think at a later stage, it'll be interesting just to see what the uptake is, because sometimes you want to talk about the dropout rate, you know, and we need to be able to talk about it in relative terms, because some learners choose certain streams, you know, some exited grade 9, some are in the School of Skills. So those that might have started grade 1, we need to be able to locate them so that when we talk about the senior phase problem, you know, from grade 10 to 12, the NSC problem, we are able to talk about it relatively. So it'll be interesting, the uptake in those streams and where learners end up, you know, in TVET colleges and other places, so that we are able to look at the real challenges that we do face when it comes to dropouts. I think the other questions around Funza Lushaga have been fully covered from my end. But the only remaining nudge that I could say, because I got the report previously, is there an improvement in terms of, because we've got a massive problem of the professional development of teachers and making sure teachers are qualified to make sure they implement this three-stream curriculum model that has been provided to us. The Funza Lushaga bursary obviously has specific targets of how many maths and science we want for each province. I mean, there's a full breakdown on and all of that. And there's been a question about allocation, so I'm going to wait for that response and see whether my question is relevant or not. But in terms of the skills that are required now in the curriculum, do we factor that in our Funza Lushaga uptake of learners, of students into universities, so that they can come back and feedback that knowledge on that curriculum streams that are available to learners? Thank you so much, Chair. Sorry for taking so long. I know that many questions are maybe outside of the first quarter report, but I thought it would be relevant because some of them have been presented by the presenter. Thanks.
Thank you, Dr. Tambekwayo.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thanks for the presentation done today. But I just would like to say we cannot consider adopting the report and the EFF Reserves' decision pertaining to this matter. mainly because the one of the reasons is that the department does not take our contributions into consideration, especially on matters of Funza Lushaka and NSFAS recipients, and on preferential job availability, which are strictly reserved for the Funda Lushakas. And secondly, to ask a question, there was a mention on LAMAC, something LAMAC, to say there are five districts and five provinces which are included in this project. To ask a question to say, what guided the department on choosing their preferred choices of five districts and five provinces? And what if the results anticipated would not be the same at the four remaining provinces and or the districts that are not included in this project? The same applies to a reflection of how well the NSC is placed internationally. Whereas most learners still exist the system without needed skills as compared to a country like Zimbabwe, how do you ensure that skills sets are compulsory and form part of the NSC? The following question: what is the value of NSC certificate towards the growth of South Africa's economy? Pertaining to social cohesion, which has been a problem in South Africa and continues to be, how will social cohesion be included in the curriculum, since in the three-stream curriculum, there is a problem of inclusion of the subject history into it? So how will it be included in the curriculum to be part and parcel of the history as a subject? And lastly, to say I definitely agree with the other honorable members on the problem that is contradictory, or that is causing a problem in South Africa in connection with the inclusivity or exclusivity of the Funda Lushakas and the SAFSA NSFAS recipients. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Atwans.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. And let me also join members in appreciating the presentation of quota one of the department that was presented to us. Chair, and also thank the Deputy Minister for being brutally honest on the non-performance on some of the targets that she presented in her opening remark of before the presentation. I think it shows, leadership and also acknowledgement of their own shortcomings. And as they present this reports to us, it's not only about reporting, but it's also about accountability. And we'll continuously monitor the performance in the next coming quarter, as they have, indicated that there are challenges and shortcomings in implementing fully those in the targets in the first quarter. Chair, I have a few questions that I would want to pose that are emanating from the presentation. The first one is with regard to the school sports. There's a report that Deputy Minister Dedworth, that there is that thing that there is no school sports anymore, but there were school competitions or singing competitions that took place. And I think we also we saw that happening all across the country up until the national level. And we really congratulate also those schools and learners that participated, and hoping that other schools will also, you know, copy and follow suit. But there's also a need to improve on that, because there's a lot of social ills that are happening, you know, in our communities, including in our schools. And some is because of the, you know, lack of other extra mural activities that are not taking place anymore, that were disrupted by COVID-19, when the country had to close down and there were no any movement and any sports that was activities that were happening. But because now we are back to normal, I think there's a need to really improve on the sports a part in the school. But my question on that one, it will be that how is the department working with municipalities to access the school infrastructure grant developments to improve implemented in schools as children of the communities, as I indicated, that they need to really have such programs happening around their communities, and also participate in school sports. And the second question, Chair, is on the financial side of the report, Chair, of which I would want to understand whether the department receive plans of implementation of grants before allocation of funds on project planning, if it is done post allocation of funds, with understanding that obviously the transfers are not happening all at once. They are given to beneficiaries or recipients as in trenches all through all the quarters, as indicated by Mr. Kuno. The second question, I would really want to understand that, does the department have a quarterly expenditure plan? And if so, why is the reporting not inclusive in the budgeted expenditure and the actual expenditure? And my last question will be on the department, whether they support provinces in their, you know, during their planning, and also to ensure that they use their grant allocation adequately and efficiently. Those are my questions, Chair. Let me pause there. Thank you very much.
I got disconnected a bit. Are you done, Honorable Adons?
Yes, yes, she's done. I think I'm the one now on the queue.
Proceed.
Modula Studio Ria Leboha Wanamrek. And a good morning to everybody on this all important platform. The platform on the portfolio committee of basic education. Let me start right away, Chair, by saying from the ANC point of view, I want to rise and move that this first quarter report be adopted and be accepted because of the following. Okay? I must also indicate that welcome and appreciate the two presentations from the Department of Basic Education. And let's appreciate the leadership of the DBE as led by both the minister and the DM. Of course, all this anchoring on the vibrant administrative stewardship of the DG. Chairperson, the provision of education to our children should be prioritized by all and sundry. And by doing so, credit, if we were to be seen being constructive, must be given where credit is due, no matter what. My first question, this question will be based on the improvement of the annual report findings. The previous findings from the auditor, the general outcome, was a qualified report. Now my question is, how is this report as presented helping to improve on the 2021/22 annual report findings? Number two, it's with regard, of course, to with regard to the recommendations from the Auditor General. Were previous recommendations from the Auditor General implemented? I'm saying so, Chairperson, because if the Auditor General keeps on recommending and recommending without the department implementing the recommendations, then it would simply mean we are moving in circles. Number three, I think Honorable Lithie covered me in part thereof with regard to the LTSM provision, but I just want to take it a step further, because the issue of either late or insufficient provision of LTSM in the main disturbs, if not distracts, the superstar in many schools. I always believe in one thing, which says, if you want to win the battle, you must begin at the beginning. For procrastination is the thief of time. Never do tomorrow what you must do today. So any delay in the provision of LTSM, it's likely going to determine the ultimate outcome in our schools and our learners' performance. So I want to know, and in support of what Honorable Lithie said, if to know is whether we still have got some schools which do not have or are still having a challenge of the LTSM. The next question is with regard to the accountability. How is this department ensuring or exercising or encouraging that provincial offices do cooperate with the national office on the accountability so as to allow national office to step in as and when the need arises? In simpler terms, Modular Studio, all I want to know is the national department or DPE reigning supreme over our provinces, so that they are able to intervene as and when the need arises? Maybe the next question, because of course you put me at the end. That's why all this, I realize that they've omitted this. That's why I'm putting. Now, number, maybe the last but one, it's with regard to the pit toilets. Chairperson, we were together in Mpumalanga. I nearly cried when I discovered that in this time of the year, and in this time of our democracy, we still have got schools which are very proud to have toilets in the form of pit toilets. And let me tell you, Honorable Lithie can bear witness to this. I think he saw my eyes struggling, me struggling to put my eyes back into my, I mean my tears back into my eyes. We are talking here about a school of partially blind and partial with learners with impaired learning, where they were still using pit toilets. And upon close inspection, we discovered I think Mr. Mbele from the Department of Basic Education indicated that, you see, the minister and the director general visited the province, and our provinces have got a tendency of hiding some of these pitfalls. And they would say, we don't have schools without pitfalls, but we discovered them, and it was a pity and a great shamble. So. The question that I'm going to put now is, how far is the department moving fast in combating this kind of misfortune and anomaly within our schools? I'm saying so because every day now and again we are scared that learners are affected in one way or the other and end up losing their lives because of the pit toilets. Even though sometimes they are not pit toilets, but the toilet is a trouble in the education of our kids. The last question, Chairperson, it's with regard to the trouble that we encounter on daily basis within our schools. Gender-based violence coupled with the sexual harassment and also bullying. All these have become a norm in majority of our schools, yet they remain a hazard to pick up. Now my question is, how effective is the implementation of the policies in place to address all these anomalies, and what could be the challenge faced by the department? Because it is so consistent. Every day, switch on the TV, it's a bullying, gender-based violence, sexual harassment, as if it has become the order of the day. What is it that is impeding us with regard to the implementation of the policies? Because the policies are good and they are intact.
Your patience is good enough to take you to heaven. Thank you, ma'am.
No, thank you very much. Principal, Honorable Fukers, is it a legacy hand? Or you want to speak again?
It's an old hand, Chair.
Okay.
He has never lowered it.
Okay, thank you very much, DM. Let me just also say some few. I think members have really said a lot. Also taking note that this is quarter one. But on slide 9, you allude there that there was a full resumption of co-curricular programs, which offered resources allocation at the provincial and the district level. And the Eastern Cape could not be monitored. What were the reasons for the Eastern Cape province not to be monitored? And then there is also a mention of the policy on the improvement in the conditions of service, which was withdrawn. Why was it withdrawn? On the ECD shift, which was handled and done very successfully, my issue is the, I've seen that the spending of the conditional grant was 25%, which was a accurate and good spending for the quarter. But can the department be able to share with us the highlights? This is a new program, which I think in terms of resources, and in terms of how the monies were managed for this quarter, it was managed very well, which of course it's a good sign that there would be there would be proper managing of this shift. And then there are slides that spoke of floods, which my question is, which district were affected by the floods? And you are also mentioning there that there were some donations that you did receive as a department. Can you share with us from where were the donation, and were they in terms of monetary value, or what type of donations are you referring to? And then on coding and robotics, how many provinces this far that are implementing or offering coding and robotics? And what is this risk register that is being mentioned for coding and robotics? What is it entailing, the risk register? And then on the MOU with Kenya, what is the bilateral all about? I think those would be from my side, DM. And the DG, I know we've got quite a number of issues that we have raised, but I'm going to allow DM to lead the responses. Thank you very much, DM.
Thank you so much, Chair. Yeah, in fact, the questions, if we answer one by one, it may take another 2 to 3 hours. But I want to assure Honorable Sukers, because she said she will still write, because her questions were not necessarily based on the first quarter report. Her questions were just general. I've noted everything because it's about ECD, the social environment impact assessment, homeschooling, capacity building, and many. I've written everything, but we'll appreciate if she can send us, as she promised, that she will send to Mr. Brown, which Mr. Brown will send to Mr. Mahada. Then we'll respond accordingly, because it covers many branches within the department. And I don't think our responses now may do justice to all the issues that she raised, because it needs a going back to the department. Yes, we have ready-made questions, but they might not be specific. Same applies to Honorable Nodada. Honorable Nodada wanted numbers and all this, but where we can, we will respond. But on other things, we'll appreciate if maybe he can send in writing that we respond accordingly. Chair, I just want to explain about the branch 5. Branch 5, we say it's care and support for teaching and learning. This branch takes care, it supports teaching and learning. It's not a curriculum branch necessarily, but it supports the curriculum to go effectively. This branch works with various departments because it is responsible for sports, and school sports budget is with the Department of Culture, Sports and Recreation. So we work together with that, and we have a person assigned to link with that department on all matters pertaining to school sports, which I believe that it's happening in most of our schools. Music, right? We work, we have a partnership with the Mutsipe Foundation. That's why we call it Mutsipe Estate Ford Music. All schools are given an opportunity to participate, circuits, districts, and up to national. So we'll hear people complaining that there's no music in schools. Music is there. And next year, we'll recommend, because DG, it's a showcase that he will be there, that let members be invited. Some members I was with, members, even deputy ministers I was with in KZN. They said, no, there's no music in schools. I said, there is music in schools. They said, no, invite us. So we must invite them, teaching, so that they see that music is happening, music is alive in the schools of South Africa. And this department also is working on with the Department of Health on the integrated health of school health of our children. It's working with the Department of Home Affairs to make sure that learners get identification documents and WhatsApp. We work with the Department of Correctional Services where we send learners, sometimes we invite the inmates to come and address them on issues of bullying. To say, the last one, I shed a tear. I could not hold my tear. When the guy was good in maths and science, now has been sentenced to life sentences. And the guy now is a teacher at the correctional services centers, teaching maths and science, and all his students pass. And he addressed our learners, and not only once, everywhere we go with them, that they address the learners, especially when we do with issues of safety and bullying in our schools. So we work with correctional services, we work with the Department of Justice, we work with the Department of SAPS, with a Department of Communications, Digital Tech and Digital Technology, we work with also COGTA. So this program, we work with all stakeholders. These are the departments and outside stakeholders within us, which is a question that was asked by Honorable Tembegwayo, that why it looks like we're inside looking. We're not inside looking. And we work together with the QLTC. The QLTC works with religious-based organizations, civil society, everybody. We are working as a huge team on issues of safety in schools. So I just wanted to start with this. I heard Honorable Nodada saying the report, the Auditor General's report is qualified. I don't know whether I heard him wrongly, but it's an unqualified audit opinion that we received from the Auditor General. On the issues of Funza Lushaga versus NSFAS and those that are taught by parents, you know, when it all started, the issue of Funza Lushaga, the NSFAS then was not supporting students who are doing teaching necessarily. They were supporting students doing all other things except teaching. That's why we came up with this dedicated bursary scheme to encourage learners to do teaching. That's why now it is still in our APP, because when we started then, we were to report. We look at the priorities of the of government and the department. Then we channel the learners to those priorities. But sometimes when learners, they have already received the bursary, they change the courses at the university. Maybe we took them to do at some stage, languages were a challenge. When we say they're going to do language, when they arrive there, they do something else other than language. Or they're supposed to be doing math, science, and technology. They do something else. And that's why the absorption rate it becomes a bit as we see it now. So it does not necessarily mean that the department is focusing only on absorbing Funza Lushaka students. We absorb all students, especially if there's a need. If Funza Lushaka does not address the need at a particular school, how can we just employ somebody who will not address the priority? They are employed. That's why it's not only those. Look at the report that we are giving now, that the Funza Lushaka in some other provinces, the absorption rate is at 17%. It tells that now the system is full. So we must revisit the production versus the need. Many people would believe that most teachers in the system are old, and that's not true. There are very few. As Honorable Suela requested that number, I think we will give the number, but 7 days is not sufficient because, yes, we have the numbers in the system, but our system counts for learners. So if we want those numbers, we go back to provinces, would request at least 14 days instead of the 7 days given by, I think it's Honorable Suela, that we will give the numbers of teachers, the breakdown according to ages, and those that will retire in 2 to 3 years. Yeah. So the number of teachers now in schools, it's a younger generation. And the Funza Lushaga, when we can look at the output every year, it tells that the production might exceed the need. So that's why I say we need to revisit. We'll work together with higher education because on the NSFAS, we need to get exactly how many students that are doing teaching as a career of choice and what subjects are they specializing in. We work together with the Department of Higher Education. Remember, we prepare a child from grade R to, we are responding to the needs of the economy of the country. That's why we have this three-stream model that in order for us to respond on the needs of the economy, those learners from the technical, vocational, and whatever, they will feed to the TVET colleges, they will feed to the University of Technologies, and some will go straight to the workplace. We have evidence of that, those that are completing our grade 12 and they go straight to the industry. And that's what the three-stream model is addressing. It's not just a three-stream model blindly. We are responding to the changing world. The world is not as it was 10 years ago. So basic education must move according to times. And we work together with higher education that they prepare a teacher that is ready for the changing world. That's what we are doing. So I'm not going to take everything. I will maybe come in the end if DG and the colleagues have not covered everything. But I just said, let me just touch on these ones. The Funza Lushaga, NSFAS, it's one government. It's true that one government, one plan. That's why now we are working closely with Department of Higher Education. And we also must respond to their curriculum, to their needs at university level. We cannot produce what the universities want because they also have a responsibility to respond to the dynamics of the new order. So we must give them the material that is relevant to their tuitions. So, and they must also produce teachers that are relevant to what we must produce for them also. It's a two-way. That's why our working together must be strengthened even more than before. Chair, allow me to call on DG, who must in turn call the relevant DGs that are here to respond on specific questions. DG?
Thank you, Honorable Deputy Minister, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members and colleagues. GM, I'm a bit constrained by connectivity so that I don't contribute to disorder. I'm just going to comment slightly and then request colleagues. I've looked at the questions, all of them. Colleagues will be able to respond to them quite adequately. Just to add on what Deputy Minister said about Funza Lushaga, we no longer prioritizing Funza Lushaga only. Council of Education Ministers has taken a decision that whether self-funded or through other forms of even government funding, those must be given same priority in terms of placement. If it happens on the ground, please give us the details so that we follow up. from Council of Education Ministers and been taken. Ours is to monitor that that decision happens up to a lower level, Honorable Lithi. Underperforming schools, they are monitored. There is a specific provision in terms of the South African Schools Act where we need, in fact, this morning I was talking to the line function about all of them. We are going for the last round of checking the state of learner readiness of provinces, and our focus is on support to underperforming schools, districts, and what accountability mechanisms have been implemented, and what change has been brought about. We check that every quarter, by the way, and sometimes we go even every month. But we now, as part of rounding off the academic year, will be meeting with all nine provinces individually to get a report of on that. Adequate provision of teachers. Well, higher education and training, which is responsible for the provision of educators, says we don't have an absolute shortage of teachers, but it's relative. They call it relative shortage of teachers. Relative means shortage in certain subjects and so on. Math and science, which used to be our acute area of need, is no longer an acute area of need. In fact, the Department of Home Affairs has requested us to provide a list of scarce skills so that as they deal with issues of temporary permits and permits to foreign nationals who are allowed to come into the country to offer scarce skills, those skills could be also included in the list that the Minister of Home Affairs is going to issue out. And then, Honorable Nodada, my humble plea, Chair, is that we promise to come to you on curriculum roadmap. I can't wait to have that moment to appear before you to present the curriculum roadmap, which will help to also shed more light on schools of skills, GEC certificate that we are working on with Umalusi, and the issue of schools that are piloting schools of skill, and what are we doing currently to recognize what is being done there, and what does the future look like, and how does this express itself in the 3-3 model. We've got the whole package on the curriculum roadmap where we present the view from assessment, my humble appeal and my humble request to come and present to you a curriculum.
DG?
Okay, Chair,
can you delegate, TM?
Yes. DG, Padiyache, can you come in and take all the issues that pertains to your branch?
Thank you, Deputy Minister, and good day.
Thank you, Chair.
I think the DM and the DG has touched on the Funza. I'll come back to it, but the Honorable Tembekwayo spoke about LAMAP and what were the reasons to choose the provinces and the districts. LAMAP had originally been in an agreement with the department in 2013, and some of the other provinces were involved in it. And somewhere along the way, this program ended. And post the COVID, LAMAP and the French government came back to us, and we requested provinces to identify these provinces based on the budget and the support being given, and trying to maximize the number of educators we could cover for inquiry-based science education, provinces were requested to identify districts and then in those districts look at schools that were under-resourced and where there was a keenness to promote science in that regard. It's a 3-year, we'll be going into this, we'll be having a follow-up in respect of the training of June to see how educators have implemented it. And then these educators will be utilized to train others in schools near the ones that where they are located. And then in the second and the third year, there would be either increased within the province into other districts or into other provinces as well, as the project steering committee identified. Then just to take build on what the Deputy Minister and the DG have raised, our attrition rate, basically we've done work for over the last 5 years, is approximately between 4% and 5%. And even if you take into account the period of the COVID pandemic, that basically translates to about 20,000 educators who leave the profession in our public schools of 380,000. And the breakdown basically is that in debt, without the COVID period, we are between 1,500 and 2,000 per year. With COVID, there was an anomaly that it rose. Resignations are around 7,000 to 8,000. And of that 20,000, half of them are ones that retire, about 10,000. Now, that means we will have to replace 20,000 educators annually. And therefore, the FUNSA is not the solution. FUNSA only contributes about 4,000 graduates. And over the, excluding the period that we're talking about now, which is for this financial year, we've been able to be between 80 and 90% successful in finding placement with them. And that's not due to prioritization solely. So where do you get these people, these educators? FUNSA provides, in this instance, about 2,500. Then you do have the NSFAS, and there are difficulties in regard to these subject specializations. There is the self-funded, and then there are instances when we look at the ones who have resigned, and there are many educators who leave the profession, and then they come back for various reasons. So that's another source. A smaller number are those we consider as educators that come from outside the borders of the country, but they do not necessarily take up all the posts in that regard. Now, what you do find as well is that the higher education institutions do produce between 25 and 30 graduates who as educators over this period, with FUNSA forming that 4,000. All of them do not enter the education sector. They do go into other professions. Others decide to do other things, including our FUNSA graduates will say, I will pay you back. And this comes from the study of the University of Stellenbosch, which is the one I think the honorable members are referring to, where they indicate that half the educators will retire, but over the next 10 years. And you'll find that this trend that we're talking normally it will not happen immediately, but we've got a plan and prepare for it, but we also face an additional priority to ensure that our curriculum meets the 21st century demands as well. So in the last meeting or two, we did, the Honorable Nodada did ask us for information about the specializations and the priorities. That did take, that priorities at the moment do count the 12 technical subjects that are there as well as indigenous. We will probably have to review it again to look into the other 21 subjects which are vocational that may have to, will have to be accommodated as well. Now, that would be, that's the intention to make the profession more youthful. And that's why there's another indicator that talks to the educators who are 30 and younger who enter the profession. And currently the average age of educators is moving from 47 down towards 46. It looks slow, but it's moving in the right direction. The other problem we face currently is that budgets, especially compensation budgets, were cut, and provinces had to deal, and accounting offices had to manage those. And then you had posts that may have been frozen, which was raised, but there's a differentiation here. What you find in our data that we have, the vacancy rates at school-based. In some provinces, they're above their post-establishment. They have more educators than what was in the PPN, and their vacancy rate ranges between 2 and 5 at times. But where the pressure has been is that over 10% of the promotion posts have not been filled for a period of time. And that is not only at school, but also in office space, in particular for subject advisors and other support services in that regard. So HODs are managing that at times where the posts are not filled, or they hold on to it. They either only appoint temporary staff from February, they terminate these people at it's practices that we do not encourage, but it's what we're looking at in the system, that the bottom line would be is that we should ensure that there is a teacher in front of children at the times, at all times that they need them. I'll pause there, DM, thank you.
Yeah, maybe Ms. Manorona can come in.
Yeah. Ms. Manorona, I think she, I did check with her. She said she's covered a bit. Let's allow Mr. Van der Weyshuizen, the DDG.
Yes.
Yes. David?
Good morning, Chair, and good morning to all the honorable members, Deputy Minister, DG, and all staff. Just quickly on some infrastructure issues raised by some of the honorable members. The first one was in terms of controls over projects, in terms of the timelines, but also in terms of the costs. Important to note that all the projects are run through very formal construction contracts that defines a duration of the contract. And if the contractor fails to complete the project and to achieve practical completion by that date, he enters into a penalty regime. We are, from our side as DBE, very strict on the application of these penalties, so we ensure that all implementing agents adhere to that. Similarly, in terms of the contract duration, the time for practical completion is defined in the document, and if there are specific circumstances that may warrant an extension of time, those extensions of times must be submitted to us for concurrence before any of those can simply be approved. So from the projects implemented by the department, we can assure you that we are having a very close handle on both of those. If we deal with the issue of payments within 30 days from the department side, we ensure that we make payments. There are a couple of historical issues, which I think one of the members alluded to, that resulted in a couple of court cases. That is unfortunately true. We are dealing with those, and some of those have now been submitted to the Internal Audit and Investigation Committee to investigate the root cause of those delays, and are in the process of defining consequence management. There was a question on the special purpose vehicle that is run by the presidency. So I think it's more appropriate to ask the presidency and the Infrastructures of Africa on comment on that. All we can say from our side is at this point in time, that special purpose vehicle is not involved in any of the Ocedian SAFE programs. As a department, we are working very closely with Infrastructures of Africa on the preparation of a national infrastructure plan. And we are also working very closely with them on the development of some standard designs in the education space. So as that develops, we will come back and report on the progress. Thank you, Chair. That's from infrastructure.
Thank you. Ms. Nokoduga, Acting Director for Care and Support, respond on all those matters of care and support. Then maybe Chief Director Watson can assist, but I over to you, Missy.
Thank you very much, DM. Good afternoon to the Chair of the Portfolio Committee, and good afternoon to the Portfolio Committee members. Chair, the Comprehensive Sexuality Education as the department, we had started piloting, as the chair might be aware, that when the department introduced this component of curriculum, there was quite a lot of pushback from our parents and communities. So we had to do a pilot. So to date, the pilot has been taking place in more than seven districts, seven provinces in the country, and we've reached about 3,000 schools in total. So this financial year, we are working with the provinces to roll out the program in all nine provinces, especially with the advent of learner pregnancy. We've realized that as a department, we needed to make sure that we hasten the rollout. Therefore, all nine provinces by the end of this financial year would have introduced CSE in their schools, as well as ensuring that out of the 75 districts, at least 50% of the districts will be covered by the end of this year. And when we are implementing CSE, Chair, we make sure that we also collaborate with the Department of Health to implement the DBE standard operating procedure for the provision of sexual and reproductive health services in our schools, so that our learners can also have access to SRH services and HIV prevention in the schools. Thank you, Chair, and thank you, DM.
Thank you, Acting DDG. Dr. Smilane, for all curriculum related and the three-stream model.
Thank you very much, Honorable DM. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. Maybe let me start from where DG ended in addressing curriculum-related matters to have made the commitment that the department will be presenting in the near future the curriculum roadmap, which will actually integrate all of these curriculum-related matters. But let me try to address the question that was asked by Honorable Nodada in relation to the schools of skill and whether or not they are part of the implementation or the rollout of the three-stream model. The response to that is a definite yes. Schools of skill are actually the first set of schools that started piloting the three-stream model, focusing specifically on the occupational stream, which has as its main focus preparing young people for the world of work specifically. A lot of progress has been made. Of course, the learners that are completing year four, which is an equivalent of grade nine, are currently not being certificated because we are in the process of finalizing the general education certificate policy framework between ourselves and Umalusi. And we are only left with one recommendation to fulfill as basic education from a set of five recommendations for finalization of the policy framework on the GEC that came from Umalusi. But I can report to the portfolio committee that the GEC has already been provisionally approved. In fact, it was provisionally approved by Umalusi in March 2021. So we are therefore at the tail end of finalizing that process. But in the meantime, in terms of acknowledging or recognizing the achievement of learners who complete year four in schools of skill, we are currently designing a report card as DBE, which we are going to deploy to provincial departments for issue to the learners in schools of skill, so that it's going to be the same report card that is crafted in the same manner, in a standardized way, which we believe is going to have an element of credibility for wherever the learners from schools of skill can take them to. I thought, Honorable DM, maybe I needed to respond to this one because it was very specific. Just to confirm that we definitely are working with Uma Lucy in this regard. Thank you very much, Honorable DM, Honorable Chair, and Honorable Members.
Thank you, Dr. Smilan. CFO?
DM, there's an issue about coding and robotics, which was not dealt with.
Yeah, I've reserved some for you, DG. I was taking over because I thought you were disturbed by the network. I was
In Manamulele, Manamulele doesn't seem to like me.
CFO?
Mr. Kuno? DM, I don't know what's happening to Mr. Kuno.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me, DM? I was struggling.
Yes, we can hear you.
Now we hear you.
Sorry about my gadget there. Yeah. No, thank you, DM. The first question that I want to deal with was raised by Honorable Siwela to say which programs are not doing well. As per our presentation, we showed that that's program two, and that's mainly because of the workbooks story, which should be resolved towards the end of the financial year, as we explained. And then I'll jump then to Honorable Adjuan's questions to say, is a quarterly expenditure plan? What we can say, Chair, is that unlike with non-financial planning, where you can say, I'm going to deliver so many targets, these are my targets. With financial planning, it's different because the budget is for the whole year. And we've got a different mix of products, if I may put it that way, in that budget. For example, the your Funza Lushaka budget is transferred at the beginning of the year. Whereas the infrastructure budget is a typical one where planning can be done in conjunction with the implementing agents to say, we're giving you so much budget, you're going to give us so many PCs or practical completion certificates by a certain date. Whereas, for example, with the transfers of conditional grants, it's done in terms of a certain agreements to say, look, we're going to transfer four times and at this date, and not necessarily on a straight line basis, not necessarily a quarter every, So it's difficult, or it's not done that way. Let me put it that way. But what we then do, Chair, as a mitigating measure or mitigating measures, is that every 2 weeks, we sit the senior management, at the senior management meeting, which is headed by the DG, and it's all the DGs, where among other presentations is a presentation on budget and expenditure, as well as where are we not doing well. Over and above that, we've got a monthly monthly management meeting. Broad management meeting, which is all the SMS members starting from director, where among other things, this budget and expenditure is presented, and we look at how we can improve where things are not going right. And lastly, we also have a ministerial management meeting, which is held quarterly or when the need arises. And then these issues are dealt with to see where we can improve. And then Chair, Honorable Nodada also asked similar question to the one that was asked, or maybe Honorable, Principal Muratsetla, sorry. Honorable Muratsetla asked the same question that was asked by Honorable Nodada. And that relates to issues of audit and, maybe let me start with the first one that relates to 30 days payments, where from Honorable Nodada. In the current In the current presentation that we are making, on slide 11, we are showing that we don't have challenges with payments after 30 days. So if we restrict ourselves to quarter one, we don't have those challenges of payments. We're showing that it's 100% and it's green on that slide. So that the question of delays in the first quarter doesn't arise. I think Mr. Van der Westhuizen has dealt with issues of IAs. But then let me deal with the big issue of audits. We wanted to avoid the issue of the audit because it's going to come up at the annual report, but it's been asked twice. So I think it's relevant for us to deal with it. And the question is whether previous qualified audits have assisted us to improve. The answer is yes, Chair. In the sense that if we remember, we got three consecutive qualified audits in 2017-18, 2018-19, 2019-20. And 2019-20 was the last time we got a qualified audit. 2020-21, we got an unqualified audit. With matters of emphasis. 2021-22, we've got an unqualified audit with no matters of emphasis. So where are the improvements? The improvements are that in 2017-18, our qualifications had four matters, basis of qualification: immovable assets, restatement of corresponding figures, irregular expenditure, fruitless and wasteful. That's 2017-18. Then 2018-19, there were five. And that, you know, there was a fifth one. So it got a bit worse. But 2019-20, we only got two bases for qualification. It was on capital commitments and on irregular expenditure. So it was getting far better. Then 2020-21, we got an unqualified audit with only two matters of emphasis. I'm not talking about basis of qualification. There was no qualification in 2020-21, but there were two matters of emphasis, and one was the restatement of corresponding figures, and the other one was irregular expenditure. The fact that our irregular expenditure increased by some 3.2 billion, that was an issue that the AG felt they had to raise as a matter of emphasis. So there was no qualification. Things improved. But in the year under review, the year that has just ended, we got an unqualified audit with no matters of emphasis. So the two matters of emphasis that were raised in 2020-21 disappeared in 2021-22. But over and above that, we also spent 97.75% of our budget. So meaning we underspend by just a quarter of a percent. So in rand terms, out of a budget of 27.3 billion, we only underspend by 68,000. So this shows the improvements that we've had over the years. I must just touch, Chair, so that when we get to the annual report stage, there shouldn't be confusion. Although we got unqualified with no matters of emphasis, there are issues that the AG has raised in the report, and those issues are called material irregularities. Material irregularities started coming up in the 2019-2020 financial year after the Public Audit Act was amended so that the AG can start raising issues which he thinks are material irregularities. So the material irregularities that we have in the current audit report are historical and started being raised by the AG in 2019-20. There are no new 21-22 material irregularities. And the reason why AG is keeping them in the audit report, they are saying they'll only remove them once these things have been cleared. Some date as far back as 2017. So I'm just saying so that when we get to come and present on the annual report, there shouldn't be confusion to say we said the audit report was clean, it doesn't have anything and all that. I'm just highlighting that we have material irregularities, which the AG is keeping in the audit report until they are cleared, and they don't relate to the 2021-22 financial year,
they don't relate to the 2021 financial year. Some of them relate way back, as I say. Thanks, Chair.
Are you done, CFO?
DM, CFO is done.
Yeah, Dichi, when you come in, cover also robotics and the Kenya bilateral relations that we have.
Okay, I'll do that, DM. My profuse apologies. I hope I'm better now. Just to say that Kenya bilateral covers a host of areas, which we can detail in a report that we can send to the portfolio committee. It covers issues of ICT, especially e-learning. Kenya and Rwanda have made better progress than we have done in e-learning and connectivity in schools. The issue of assessment and exams, it's another area that is covered there. The issue of curriculum is also covered there, including some of the issues of social cohesion. So what I would say, Chair, is that we can just list the areas of the collaboration with Kenya, which are more or less similar to the collaboration that we have even with Zimbabwe. Coding and robotics, we piloting 200 schools. Although the pilot was disrupted by COVID-19, but we started with piloting 200 schools, we don't have all of those schools still on board, the 200, but all 9 provinces are represented, and provinces had to submit a list of schools which was going to make up a total of 200. We can give us the status of that pilot in the report that we can forward to the portfolio committee. DM, there was also an issue of school sports. I think I agree with the observation that says mass participation in school sports, which I thought Dr. Trish Watson was going to cover, is not at the level where we should be. Like people were saying, bring back the Sports Wednesdays. I do come across Sports Wednesdays where I've been traveling and so on in the rural areas and villages. But that is not as common as it used to happen before. And we are working with the Department of Sports, Arts and Culture, as well as the provincial department to make sure that this becomes a reality. We are due to present tomorrow to the FOSAT committee on the same matter. On what measures are we going to put in place to increase mass participation in sports and other curriculum enrichment program and bring back things such as Sports Wednesday. The issue of the 5 provinces and 5 districts, well, the usually when we do something such as this one, working with organizations and countries, it depends on the funding that is available. And what we do is that depending on funding, then we confine this to provinces and districts that the funding would be able to cover. And after that, then there'll then be a plan to scale up what we have started in a few provinces. The issue of reading, for instance, in which started in Northwest and now in Mpumalanga, we started as a pilot, and the provinces have now factored that into their reading plan to scale it up in all the 9 provinces. I'm just giving the example of that, Honorable Dr. Tembekwayo, in terms of the 5 provinces and 5 districts in terms of the Lamag project. And then, Honorable Aduns, I've responded to the issue of sports. Working with municipalities, I hope that the issue of the district development model is going to help us enhance our relationship with municipalities, which I must concede it hasn't been to where it should be, particularly looking at the issue of municipal infrastructure grant, which could help to make facilities for sports and recreation much more available to schools. And the department and the 9 provincial education departments we launched about 3 weeks ago, aligning the district development model education districts to the government district development model in terms of implementation. So going forward, we can only improve on that. Plans for the implementation of grants, I thought Mr. Kuno would deal with this. Yes, there are business plans. Every grant has got a business plan, clearly outlined, detailed, procurement model and deliverables and so on. And we monitor the performance of these grants in terms of these plans. We've now, the portfolio committee would remember that I reported that we had started meetings at the level of heads of education, meeting every month for EIG, Education Infrastructure Grant. We've now extended that to include all the grants. This past Friday, for instance, we have received reports from all the grants that we have for each and every province, and we are monitoring performance in terms of these plans. Mr. Kuno explained the issue. Mr. Kuno covered the issue. DM?
Yeah, I was saying cover the history by Honorable Tebegwayo.
Oh, I missed that one. I wasn't sure about the history, DM. I might have missed the question of Honorable Tebegwayo there.
Social cohesion and making history compulsory to all the learners.
The ministerial task team has presented its report to the minister. The minister is engaged with them. And then there'll be a few other meetings to map a way forward in terms of the implementation of what has been presented as the report of the ministerial task team that the minister appointed. The first thing is to strengthen the currency of history as a subject. And by the way, it's offered from the foundation phase up to senior phase. The key question is making it compulsory from the FET band, which is not at the moment. And the ministerial task team has made recommendations and proposals. And I think in the fullness of time, DM, minister could also determine maybe to share the report with the portfolio committee in that regard. But the ministerial task team has done excellent work. We've received presentations from them, both in terms of strengthening the currency of history as a subject, but also possibilities of making history compulsory for all learners. So it would be up to the minister then to really decide to share that with the portfolio committee and maybe indicate how the minister would want to take the report forward. Maybe I thought Ms. Nokoduga will address the issue of slide number 9. Oh, before that, the issue of the LTSM, Mr. Murad said, I wouldn't agree more with you on that. LTSM is one of the quality drivers, but I can say to you that we do have shortages in some grades, but not in grade 12, and in some schools, not all schools and all learners. I would say that they have 100% coverage, but provinces are addressing that within the constraints of a budget allocation, as Mr. Padayaki also indicated. And then Mr. Muratseta also raised the issue of the pit latrine. And I thought Mr. van der Westhuizen will address this one as well. Given the fact that South Africa is one of the 20 countries that experience scarcity of water, it is not possible that every locality of the country will have waterborne toilets, because running water is not available throughout the country. So what we are doing as basic education and human settlement, as well as the Department of Water and Sanitation, is to provide appropriate and safe sanitation facilities where you don't have running water available to provide for waterborne toilets, we provide what we call dry solution, but which is safe, which is appropriate and approved by the World Health Organization, WHO. And what I've been monitoring in the main is the provision of dry sanitation facilities. In other words, you can call them pit latrines, but they are safe and they are appropriate and they are much more, you know, provide a healthy environment because they do have facilities that would ensure that the pit remains dry and you can dislodge the pit just like you would dislodge what would be in a waterborne toilets, which was not the case with the old pit toilets that we had, which were not even safe. So we can provide figures there as well in terms of the work that we have done so far. And there was also an issue from Honorable Nodada to say now that ACD and SAFE funds are going to be shifted into EIG, what's going to happen to projects that are incomplete? I thought Mr. van der Westhuizen will also address that. We have been in discussion with Treasury. We have crunched the numbers, for lack of a better word, but essentially saying which projects are likely to be completed this financial year, which projects are likely to spill over to the next financial year, and what is likely to happen even within the two outer years of the MTSF. And Treasury, together with the forum that deals with this, where we presented with Mr. van der Westhuizen, they have received our presentation where we indicated which are the projects which are likely to go to 2023 and 2024. And we are definitely, we are confident that we should be able to get money to be able to complete those projects. The rest of the other work will then move over to provinces for them to complete. Improvement of conditions of service withdrawn. I thought Mr. Padayaki will address that. My faint recollection is that is the incentive for areas that are difficult to teach policy, which has been withdrawn by the minister in consultation with the Council of Education Ministers. I'm sure that's what we are referring to there. Chair, is the incentives for areas that are very difficult to attract teachers to teach, what is colloquially known as rural allowance, which has been withdrawn. Sharing of highlights on the deliverables with respect to the ECD grant, I'm sure we can do that in the interest of time. We'll write to you and share those deliverables and even indicate the highlights there. Which districts were affected by floods? We can also provide that information to you and provide even more detail in terms of specific schools and progress in this regard. Coding and robotics, I think I have dealt with it, Deputy Minister. The bilaterals with Kenya, I said, will provide details. My profuse apologies once more and for having missed, you know, questions.
Before you conclude, yeah, there was a question by Honorable Nodada on the ECD versus the current legislation and the resources that as we want
okay.
to... Yes, please.
Okay. Oh, the great R is that the amendment that is proposed in the Bella Bill, and Advocate Misa is in the meeting, can correct me if I'm wrong, is really intended to bring the funding of grade R to the same level as other grades, because at the moment we're funding grade R. Grade R is not does not fall within a compulsory school going age, and therefore even the funding of grade R has been at 25%, and the intention is to bring the other 75% so that it's funded the same as all other grades. With respect to 0 to 4 year old. Remember that we've taken this footstool and the grant that we have at the moment is to fund the provision of 0 to 4 year old as it has been the case with social development. And we are working on a new ECD model for delivery for 0 to 4 year old. And we are in discussions with National Treasury around the full funding of that delivery model, Honorable Nodada, which I hope should then be able to address the cost for the full provision of ECD, whether it's infrastructure, whether it's practitioners, whether it's other resources and so on. But I must caution that as it has been the case right from the beginning and led by the minister to say, we should not look at a 0 to 4 year old provisioning, which is similar to schooling for South Africa. But we're looking at models elsewhere in the country where you've got partners such as municipalities, you've got partners such as the private sector. You also have communities like your NGOs, like churches and so on, who could also be partners in providing ECD in that regard. DM, I hope I have tried within the constraints of the network. So I've tried, DM. Thank you.
DG, you have tried. I've been ticking as you put all the remaining ones, except one that they ask about, have we been given cash by the donor funders? We've been funded by UNESCO, yes. Maybe I can take that one, DG, because I was in KZN as the Department of Basic Education. Yes, we were supported, not funded, we're supported by UNESCO. They then bought all the dignity packs for boys and girls that are affected by the floods in 6 districts of KZN and 69 schools. And we're working with the Department of Education in KwaZulu-Natal. They are the ones who identified those learners that were severely affected. And what we appreciate on those dignity packs, it covered even the boys and it includes everything, starting from a toothpaste, toothbrush, roll-on, soap, everything. So we were satisfied, even ourselves. Then the other one, the Global Fund, funded the Department of Social Development also to assist schools. So the Social Development worked with the Pine Town districts together with the Department of Education in KwaZulu-Natal. They bought school uniform, 3 pairs of school uniform to 1,700 learners. They were given, I think they were given money, 5 million. That's why they used local people to sew that school uniform and also dignity packs for all the 1,700 learners. It includes track suits, school jerseys, uniform, 3 pants, 3 tunics, whatever they needed according to their specification. But we were there also as the Department of Basic Education to testify on that. The districts are so happy and the province is happy. I think that's where we are. But with us, we're not given money. They bought those goodies for us. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you so much, DM, DG, and to all the officials that have participated in responding. Members, I take it that they have really responded to all the... I checked mine. They have responded to them, except for the reports that must be sent, which we hope we are going to get those reports, DM, DG, that you have promised to give us the detail of the issues that we have raised. We've taken quite a lot of time. It's 1 o'clock now. Members, we have done 3 hours and a half in this meeting. And maybe let me say that let's allow the department to leave. DM, DG, let's allow you to leave so that we can just deal with some in-house issues. I'm looking at the time. Thank you very much for the quarter one presentation.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Honorable Members. Thank you, DM. Thank you, colleagues.
Yeah, thank you, members. Thank you, colleagues. And bye.
Levin, can you help us with the minutes of the 13th of September? I see the hand of Sukers.
Yes, Chair. I raised my hand, Chair, because I just wanted to indicate that I think the Siyakuchat report is a matter of public interest, and that if the public could be allowed in the meeting when that report is being discussed.
No, but we don't chase away members of the public. When we report, it's just that they are not going to be able to participate. But we don't chase them away when we deal with them. They are allowed to enter into our meetings like we normally do. Okay, I'm checking the time, members. We need to at least have lunch and get into the sitting. These are the minutes of the 13th. We had the presentation by Omalusi on the international benchmarking and subject analysis of South African National Senior Certificate. Page 1 is the members that were present in the meeting. Page 2, it's the officials from DBE and Omalusi and our parliamentary staff. And then we opened the meeting and we have received the apologies from both the minister and the deputy minister. And we have done the roll call. And then we congratulated Omalusi on their 20th anniversary. And then we had an address, which was done by the Omalusi chairperson, Prof. Balim. And we also had Dr. Rakometse, which presented their benchmarking on the NSC. And then we had our observations. And then there were responses which were led by the DG, Dr. Polia, and Omalusi. And then those were the committee recommendations. There was a conclusion, we adjourned the meeting at 12:25, and then we said we're gonna meet today. Any corrections? In the absence of corrections, can we adopt the minutes?
Chairperson.
Yes, Honorable Demurwa Tsetla.
My unconspicuous hand is up. I rise to move that these minutes be adopted as a true reflection as transpired on that day in question.
Thank you very much, Principal. Sukers, are you seconding? Any second?
Morning, Chair. Yes, Chair. I unfortunately was not in this meeting, Chair.
Oh, your hand is up, then can you lower it? Any second?
Yes, Chair. Thanks.
Honorable Adwans.
I second, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Adwans. Mpumalanga oversight report. You. Members, can I ask that we defer these reports to the next meeting? If we. For purposes of time.
Yeah, Chair, I realize the time constraints. Some of us are busy trying to make lunch for ourselves. Please, can we defer this report to the next meeting in the interest of time?
in the interest of time, really, any contrary view? Agreed to. We are referring these the both Mpumalanga report and the Siyakulkhad report to the next meeting because of the time. Some of us must still drive to Parliament and members must still have something to eat to join the next plenary meeting. On that note, then, the meeting is adjourned. Members, thank you very much.
Seconded, my chair.
Thank you, Chair. Bye-bye.
And bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Principal. Don't burn the food.
You can come and join me.
Recording stopped.